Welcome to Lesson 13, Your Beliefs Shape Your Reality. I know it may feel like overkill to keep hammering the importance of knowing your core values and beliefs, but the reason I'm doing this is because it takes time for most of us to get very clear on the values and beliefs that are truly ours. And even then, it may take some massaging the wording until it feels just right. Add to that the need to peel away the stuff that wasn't ours in the first place, and you can see this is a time-consuming process. And once you have that clarity, you need to be able to communicate it clearly too, whether that's to your internal organization, to your customers, or just to remind yourself from time to time why you're doing this and what makes your work so important in the world. Assuming you've done the work to pull out your core beliefs, now we want to dig deeper into why. Why are those beliefs so important to your work? The work you've done previously helps us uncover your essential why. Now we need to find a way to communicate that in terms that your audiences will care about. When I say your audiences, I mean internal audiences like your support team and employees, as well as your colleagues, peers, and customers. Anyone who might recommend someone to your business needs to be able to articulate what you stand for and why your work matters, at least to a degree compelling enough to get someone curious enough to consider your offers. And if you don't shape that narrative, someone else will. Who do you want in control of your messaging and positioning? Take control before someone else does. Now, this may be another emotionally charged session for you. Just a heads up as we look at the beliefs that are directly connected to your great work in the world. First, why did you choose to do this with your life? Of all the things you could be or could be doing right now, why did you choose this? Was it a natural fit? Did you come by it honestly or by accident? Is it something you just can't avoid doing? That was my reality. I tried to do lots of other things before I finally settled into being a creative entrepreneur and a coach to other creatives. I really tried to walk away from it, but it kept calling me back. People kept showing up asking for help. And as I looked more closely at my essential why, I realized this was the best and most natural way for me to help the people who needed me most. What was your path to this work? Why are you doing this instead of something else? Go back to last month's mindset training and see what patterns are there. Look for the connections to find your answers. Before we get to the next question, let's introduce a phrase you'll hear me use frequently: ruthless honesty. Now, when you think of the word ruthless, you may get a sinister sense, but that's not where I'm going with this. Ruthless honesty is leaving no stone unturned. It's looking at the truth from every angle. It's seeing the so-called good and the so-called bad without judging it. In fact, it's best to drop judgments like good and bad altogether and just see what's really true. It's only when you drop the judgment that you can have a real awareness of what's going on. For example, if your truth is that you have $5 in the bank, judging it will only make it harder for you to look at it. How did you get $5 in the bank? Without judging the answer, look at the truth with ruthless honesty. Maybe you overspent, or maybe you had an unexpected expense. Judging yourself for those experiences doesn't change them. It only frustrates you. Instead, drop the judgment for the rest of these questions. It'll be a helpful practice for the rest of your life, too. Okay, second question. What do you believe about yourself? Now sit with this and look at all the truths you perceive. Maybe you have a few empowering beliefs, like you were made for this, or that God gave you a special gift and you want to put it to good use. Maybe you have a few disempowering beliefs, like you're not good with money, or that you have to work hard all the time in order to be successful. Just drop the judgment and just note what comes to mind. Then for each belief that pops up, ask yourself if you believe that it's really true. Now, is that really true? If so, mark it down. If not, release it, because sometimes beliefs will pop up that aren't yours. Rather, there are things that you've heard other people say or things other people think ought to be true for you. Acknowledge them so that they don't take up space in your head, but then feel free to let them go. Only write down the beliefs that are true for you and let everything else go. You have plenty to deal with just looking at what's really true for you. The importance of ruthless honesty here is that no one else is ever going to see this list. And maybe you're feeling prideful or shameful about some of these beliefs. Again, drop the judgment, for now at least, and just get them down on paper so that you can see them as they really are. Okay, next question. What do you believe about the work that you're doing? So not just why you're doing it, but what do you believe about doing it? For me, I believe that no one else can do this the way I do, and that it's important for creatives to have this, so I gotta keep doing it, and for now, doing it this way. Now, I also believed at one time that it was hard. I've changed that belief, and I'll talk about that in a bit, but it was a belief I had for a long time. But this isn't about me. What do you believe about this work that you're doing? Ruthless honesty. What's true for you, warts, sparkles, and all? What's the truth for you? Last question. What do you believe about the world you're here to serve? Now, this will probably feel a little more philosophical, but it doesn't have to be. For example, a colleague of mine in the direct selling industry believed that her audience didn't want to pay for anything, that they wanted everything for free. But she also believed that her audience needed better training than the lowest common denominator training that their companies provided. Those are competing beliefs that eventually pulled her out of that market. But it was important for her to recognize those beliefs before she could do anything differently or anything more in alignment with where she wanted to be. So, what do you believe? Like the other questions we've looked at today, be ruthlessly honest with yourself and only keep what's true for you. Once you've got all these beliefs written down, take one more pass and ask yourself if you really believe that each one of them is true. Once you've got your list, you're going to want to set it aside for a day or two and then come back to it one more time for a final pass. As you look at the list, do you see things that contradict? Do you find yourself holding beliefs that you don't want to have or that don't serve the direction you want to be headed? That's a powerful awareness, and I invite you to celebrate that awareness before you start making changes. Because here's the thing about beliefs. Barring a major life change, we don't tend to change beliefs at the flip of a switch. We have to slowly supplant them with new ones. I call it raising your threshold of belief. You need new evidence that supports the belief you want to have in place of the one you're trying to change or eliminate. And I strongly encourage you to make one shift at a time. Trying to change too much too soon can cause cognitive dissonance that will stall your success. As you find evidence that supports the belief you want to hold, celebrate it and reinforce it. You don't need to slam the old belief or bring a lot of attention to it. It will eventually just fall away. For example, when I have a client who needs to cancel or reschedule, I used to get upset, disappointed, and find it very unprofessional that they couldn't keep their commitments. But that was rarely their reality, just a belief I imposed on the situation. Now, when clients need to make a change, I usually get excited because I believe that the time slot opened up for something better or more important to fall into it. How did I do that? Not by continuing to dwell on the disappointment, but instead by looking for proof that better or more important things usually did fall into that opening. And the more I looked for them, the more I found them. Yes, it's a bit of confirmation bias to be sure, but it's using your bias for your betterment. It's a healthy form of brainwashing, if you will. So select one belief that needs adjusting. What would you like it to be instead? Where can you find evidence of it being true? And if not for you, then for somebody else. If it can be true for them, could it also maybe be true for you? How could it also be true for you? Now, these small questions might not seem like a big deal, but they start to open the door to new possibilities and new ways of thinking that will eventually shift your perspective and ultimately your beliefs. Remember, your beliefs color your outlook and shape your perceived reality. If you see the world as warm and caring, you'll respond differently to it than if you believe the world is out to get you. Now, that may sound like an oversimplification, but it illustrates the point. Your assignment is to actually do the work that we just walked through. Stop the recording along the way if you need to, but don't skip this work. Simon Sinek famously said, "People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it." And while I don't entirely agree with that premise, his point is still valuable. When you can communicate the why in a way that your audience understands, they connect more deeply and become more loyal to your brand. In our next lesson, we'll get even more specific about your preliminary pricing as we look at how to price profitably and what to do if the market doesn't seem to want to pay your rates. And I will see you there.